That is right. Behind the bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. Hope everyone is doing well. Hope everyone is well-rested. Well-rested after last night's festivities. If you do not know what I'm referring to, you have lived under a rock for the last 24 hours, or you just are frankly lost wherever you are. Welcome to a sports station. We're talking about sports. And yes, we are talking about the World Series here in just a little bit. How about that one last night in terms of dramatics? But we'll dive into that quickly. We only got the hour today, 1 hour of our show. And a big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us in the previous hour. Tony D's show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays for you who are listening live and on demand on there. Good to always hear his voice and his insight. And you can listen to it on demand on the 1430ESPNFresno.com website and the 1430ESPN app. That's where you can get it there. Lee's Air Hotline. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing is the way to reach us on the Lee's Air Hotline. If you want to reach our show, get your opinions in. 559-320-1430, the way to reach us. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. Got a good one, like I said. We are going till 4 o'clock today because 4 o'clock is when the Dodgers and the Blue Jays will resume play of this World Series Game 4, and the pregame will begin at 4 o'clock. So that'll be here on 1430 over on 790. I believe we have Sharks hockey, Sharks and Kings tonight for a fun one. Sharks playing some fun hockey. Maybe we get into that. We only got an hour, like I said. Good to be here, like I said. And, Lee's Air Weather Check. Forgot that one. Lee's Air Weather Check sitting at 75 degrees today as your high. Feels like 80, says some others on the app in terms of that. Low of 55 today. Sunny. Going to get up to the 80s by Thursday. Mid-70s pretty much throughout the rest of the week. We'll drop by next week in terms of weather. Maybe some precipitation as well in terms of it. Hey, at least we're not L.A. I saw some forecast saying L.A. is up to the 90s today. He could be a factor in terms of this World Series tonight when all things are said and done in terms of it. It's good to be here. Good to be talking all things sports. We're going to talk about, obviously, the World Series Marathon last night. We'll talk about ranking the games this week, the Benatti Blitz, of course, and we'll get some predictions and see where this hour goes. It's going to go quickly for you folks. We got in studio with me, Asa is here. Asa, you're here for your 1 hour, and we decided to fit you in for this show. How are you doing on this Tuesday?
I'm good. Thanks for squeezing me in, by the way.
Squeezing you in. Yes, certainly. And over in the peanut gallery in our producer's booth.
Don't call it the peanut gallery.
I like calling it the peanut. Is that derogatory?
I don't know, but I don't know. Okay, fine, they're the peanut gallery.
We got Tanvir and Daniel over there as well. Is that a derogatory term? I say it's a term of endearment, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it is.
Just call them the booth.
The booth.
The booth?
The booth.
The booth?
Yeah.
I love calling it anything
the peanut gallery. I also love the peanut gallery, but like, I don't know, I like them.
What
They're
is the
nice.
Origin of the peanut gallery? Like, what?
I will tell you off air.
Is that not a thing we can't say on air?
I don't want to chance it.
Is it something to do with circuses?
Kind of.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Well, I'm doing good.
Good save, Tanvir. Thanks.
How rested are we today? How well rested are we? Did we get the sleep, the proper sleep? I know you did because you fell asleep. did we get the proper rest last night? I'm calling you out. Yeah, you're right.
So for one thing, Steph fell asleep in the ninth.
Mm.
You called at the top of the 14th.
Yeah.
And you're like, when is Asa going to go to bed? And I'm like, if this gets to the 15th, like I'm calling it. Like I'm not watching this anymore. I'm bored.
You started getting mad.
Yeah, dude, because I'm like, why is this going on so long? I have stuff to do.
Stuff to do, like sleep?
Like, look at the back of my eyelids.
Yeah, you're missing, missing your favorite TV show, dreams.
I get into bed at, the top of the 15th. I take a power nap, and then Steph, wakes me up, oh, hey, Freddie Freeman, hit a home run. And I'm like, what? And it's, the bottom of the 18th. And I'm like, why is this going on so long?
Yeah.
This is shenanigans.
Yeah.
We played two baseball games. Tomorrow's game today's game five.
Today's game five. Tomorrow's game six. And then
the classic game seven and eight. 3-4 doubleheader.
Yeah, exactly. 8-game World Series in terms of it. We'll see if we go to the marathon in terms of it. Guys, Tanvir, of course, you had your mandated obligation as a fan to stay up for that game. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You had no other choice other than to lock in terms of that. How are you feeling after that one?
I may or may not have gone to bed with the phone thinking that I was going to go to sleep near the 15th inning, and then it just absolutely went to the 18th where we have literally played two full games at this point. It was absolutely insane. I was half asleep when Freddie Freeman hit the game-winning home run, the walk-off.
I just hear
my brother just barge into the door in my room, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, he did it!" I'm like, "Yeah, great."
Yeah,
I am tired.
Daniel, how are you doing? Did you get the proper sleep you needed today?
I mean, I usually go to bed at like 1 anyway.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah,
you're young.
I was hate watching. Except I'm hate watching both teams because
tough.
Yeah,
tough for you, right?
It's very tough.
It felt like last year for me. Anyways. I was experiencing, so I get home from Major Wager. It is the ninth inning. I'm expecting. I just need to see. I tell my brother, who's just randomly sitting there. The TV was off. His girlfriend was over in the kitchen. We're just hanging out. And I'm like, he's like, "Oh yeah, we can watch more. We watch a show together. We've been watching 24 together." So I was like, "Okay, yeah, we'll watch after the World Series is wrapped up. I just want to watch the end of the World Series game." He's like, "Cool. I'll just make some music." 10th inning goes by. 11th inning goes by. 13, 14.
Your poor brother's like, "I don't know how many more beats I can make, dude."
He was like, dude, when is this game going to end? And I'm like, "I don't know." And we decided on the second TV we have in the living room to put on 24. I start putting the game down, and I have the game on our main television while we're watching an episode of 24 at 11:45 at night when the game is in the 18th inning. Seems like the Blue Jays are going to finally score in some form or fashion because Will Klein's arm's going to fall off, and then he gets out of it, and then God bless Freddie Freeman for sending some people home last night in terms of it, because I don't know when the teams were going to scratch across the runs in this game if it weren't for a solo shot by Freddie.
Watching the home run celebration, I'm like, I don't know if you guys are stoked that you guys won or if that you're stoked that you finally get to go.
Well, there were four moments where we thought the game was over earlier in the game, right, in terms of it.
Yes.
Tanvir, what was the feeling of the Will Smith?
Oh.
He pimped it.
He pimped
that deep fly to left center, and Varsho got
that
to the...
Was that the Dalton Varsho catch at the wall?
Yeah, catch at the wall. Okay. And Will Smith thought he clobbered a high fastball.
You know what made me mad? Is it wasn't even like he jumped out above the fence and he caught it. No, he literally just stood there and caught the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my brother is celebrating. We turn around and it's like going to the next inning. I'm like, what just happened?
Max Muncy, the very next batter, by the way, absolutely just hits a high towering shot down the right field line. That felt like it was
begging
to stay in.
Never mind. There
that
it goes.
One felt like the Mets one. I don't know if you guys remember Max Muncy had a home run against the Mets, and I was like, that's the same trajectory, and it just went foul.
There was a, to me, I think there was a Teoscar one in the, I think it's the 16th. Teoscar had a deep fly to center that got dangerously close to the wall, but Varsho was once again there to make the grab.
I think once you get into those types of innings, everything just blends together. So I don't know who did what and what happened when versus, the Freddie Freeman.
Well, let me just highlight some innings here just real quick for the people to catch up on the memory in terms of some big ones. How about big moment top of the 10th when you have Davis Schneider on first, and suddenly Nate Lucas hits a double down the right field line. Suddenly, I think the Blue Jays, that felt like, they were going up. That was a score down the line. And then Teoscar and who made the relay? Was it Edmund?
Edmund
at the perfect relay play from right to the second baseman to home to relay and cut down Davis Schneider, who I thought was way faster than he was, cut down at home, lead to that staying as a tie ball game. I said this a major wager last night. I thought they should intentionally walk Shohei by the seventh inning, and of course, that seventh inning, he hits the tying home run, and it was just on
the first pitch he saw. By the way,
a horrible pitch from Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Straight
by the way,
meatball.
Just oh absolutely meatball to Shohei Ohtani, and then it became the we will never let Shohei Ohtani back. And by the way, I hear the discourse last night of a lot of people saying there should be an intentional walk limiting rule, and I say cry more in terms of that. That is the strategy of baseball. Barry Bonds would have hit 1,000 home runs in his career if the intentional walk rule was limited to one time per batter. So get the hell out of here with the intentional walk. It's part of baseball. It's part of the strategy. I, for one, think the argument is invalid. I don't think there is ground to stand on in terms of limiting the intentional walk call. Shohei's a great batter, and if you don't want to face Shohei, you don't have to face Shohei.
I saw someone on Twitter today that was like, "Oh, the intentional walk is ruining baseball.
They're
like, walking Shohei Ohtani is ruining baseball."
They're just
and it's like, "No, I'm here to win a baseball game, if I don't have to face the greatest player of baseball right now, I don't want to."
And let me just say, okay, what if they do limit intentional walks per batter? They're just going to throw four balls anyway.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, it doesn't stop them from throwing balls. And we're just going to get back to where we were before the
Find the strike zone.
Whoever thinks they're going to try to combat the limiting the intentional walk situation is frankly mistaken. That was such the dumbest argument I heard last night in terms of baseball chatter. I don't know about you guys, but I was losing my mind in terms of that one.
Sure. I mean, it's frustrating, but it's all part of the game.
And
honestly,
like,
with the players,
fan, of course you want to watch Shohei like hit a dinger. Like,
you can't police
you
it.
Yeah.
It's like you can't police people walking people intentionally. Like, we're just going to go back to 2005 when we have the catcher just putting his mitt out.
Yeah.
And we're just going to throw four pitches and the baseball game slows down. Nobody cares. Like, get out of here. Get out of here with that. Man, Freddie Freeman becomes the first batter ever to hit two walk-off home runs in a World Series games. He's the first ever to do so. Clutch, certainly, if the Dodgers do win this World Series. Here's where I sit with this series now, because I feel like the Dodgers had to win last night in terms of the way kind of things went with the Blue Jays subbing all of their guys, doing the defensive movements. You know, the Blue Jays certainly didn't have the lineup by the end of the game to any sort of muster up any run. I think they had two hits through, like, the last seven innings in terms of how they were going about it. It felt like the Dodgers winning this game was the thing that had to happen, because they still had Shohei. They still had Freddie. They still had Mookie, all those guys still in the lineup to have to produce. And if they didn't produce for nine more innings of extra inning baseball and the Blue Jays won that game, then frankly, I'd be pretty demoralized if I was sitting there as a Dodger fan. But you win today, and I think that's the result that should have happened. And I think tonight we'll see how it all switches around in terms of what goes on. But I think Toronto is going to be interesting to see how they get off and going in this next game here, and we can preview it moving forward. But frankly, I don't think Toronto's devastated by this loss today. I think they took a prize fighter to the full distance and gave it a lot of good body shots, and that fighter's feeling it right now.
Yeah, they went 11 rounds with Evander Holyfield right now, and they're feeling pretty all right.
Yeah. What do you think? I don't think Toronto's devastated today by the loss. I think people will say, well, you got so close to beating the Dodgers in one game in L.A. How can you feel about coming after? But, Tanvir, where do you sit on the mentality of coming out of a game like that?
Oh, it's completely difficult, because not only are you mentally drained, you're physically drained after all of what happened. What I will say, I think situationally you are correct, that I think the Dodgers had to win that game. But I felt like going into that game, and as we move into the rest of this series, I felt like that was more must-win for Toronto in terms of where they're heading into this series. I think that you go into this game four, it's Shane Bieber versus Shohei Ohtani. I personally think that Ohtani has the advantage there. And if the Dodgers' bats can keep going with two more home games on top of them, I think that that's why I believe Toronto. But yes, I do agree. Situationally, with the players that were out, I think the Dodgers at that point, if you lose that game, that's a worse loss on your end than it would be for Toronto. So,
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, going into this game, I think that we're going to see some tired pitching, and we're probably going to see a high scoring game. And who that is going to be an advantage for, I don't know. I think for me, it's LA because I still trust the starting pitcher of the Dodgers a little bit more than the Toronto Blue Jays in this game especially. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
The only thing I push back on what pitching we'll see tonight in terms of Shohei is I think Bieber was able to get the rest after the game. I think I think of Shohei having to run the bases 9 times last night. And for those who know playing baseball, running the bases takes an extreme amount of concentration to make sure you're not going to get tagged out or be out in some sort of situation. No understanding the situation, the speed of which things move when you're running the bases. And Shohei, record-wise, was on the bases playoffs for 9 times last night in terms of that. And I think there could be fatigue. Now, Shohei is a superhuman. If there's one player that can overcome that, maybe it is him. But I got to imagine the legs are feeling a little loose from last night in terms of being on the base pass for 9 times. He was asked to steal a couple times in this game last night as well. It's not like he's ready to roll in terms of feeling the fatigue factor. But then again, we are, 4 games away from this season potentially being over, and you feel tired anyways, no matter what it is. But I just wonder about his ability to be effective. He could give you length in terms of being on the mound. It's just a matter of how effective he can be in terms of pinpointing the pitches tonight. It's a fine detail in terms of being able to be accurate, especially after the marathon it was of playing till basically almost midnight last night. So that's my worry if I'm a Dodger fan. It's just like, does Shohei have a lot? I mean, Shohei has it really is dependent on the first couple innings of this game tonight in terms of it.
Something I never thought about is that, in baseball, you only have to run 90 feet, but, you have to run exactly 90 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can't overshoot.
Yeah.
There's no – it's very, full tilt and then, hard stop.
It's hard to, catch your breath on the bases.
Yeah.
You're going, as quick as you can to where and you have to stop. And then you're there's so much concentration in what's going on constantly. Players are trying to get you out.
Yeah. Cause you're kind of standing still, but even then, you're kind of leading off. You probably have to run back to your base. It's not really a true start and stop.
Do you follow my logic there? Tavier or Daniel, do you follow my logic there a little bit in terms of, I just worry about the fatigue. But then again, like I said, if Shohei's a superhuman, this is something we'll see him overcome tonight.
I agree with that. Honestly, I feel like he's shown that the whole season anyways. I mean, granted, he hasn't been pitching since towards the end of the season, but, we've seen it in the past. He's able to overcome anything. I would like to say not the greatest baseball player we have right now, though.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not doing this.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
We're not doing that today.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
All right. We won't be bringing that up just quite yet. Tanvir, anything to that point? Or, or do you feel like Shohei is just going to be just a complete alien out there today?
I think that anything that we've seen in these playoffs, especially these last couple of games, he is just an alien. He will get it done. I don't know if it will be to the extent that we saw it in the last game versus the Brewers, because I think that's just hard to replicate at any point.
But he's 13 for his last 13, I think, right now at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah,
in postseason.
So I trust him. I think it.
Or he's gone on 13 times. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Right.
Yeah.
I trust him. I think it'll be frisky. I think this is all obviously a must-win for Toronto, and I think I saw a stat the other day. It said out of the last 10 seasons, only 2 teams have come back from a 2-1 deficit and won the World Series. So, yeah, must win for Toronto, but I think Shohei will be up to the task.
49, I think it's the record yesterday was 42-19 in the last bit of World Series. Teams that win Game 3, their record in terms of winning the World Series eventually, 42-19. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to switch to football. We'll do the Benatti Blitz next. Stay with us. Behind the Bench rolls along on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Before we get into our topics, just a reminder for you all out there, YouTube TV customers, listen to this. You could lose ESPN and the sports you love including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. You got to take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com so you can keep ESPN. Once again, go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN on your YouTube TV activity. I know, Tanvir, you don't want to lose that in terms of that.
Agreed.
So, would be unfortunate. Okay, I'm going to see how this goes in terms of switching. I apologize. You're going to listen to this, and it's probably going to cut off in the recording right now because we have a little bit of a situation with our recording equipment. But for those who are listening back to this program right now, I disappeared, and now you don't hear me. In terms of it, but for those listening live, we're about to do the Benatti Blitz right here, right now. We're ranking the games of the week. Reminder, the Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlet, be sure to visit them for your Tailgate Ready contest. Two more giveaways left on the Tailgate Ready contest. Winner will get two tickets to the next Fresno State home game, plus $100 to their tailgate for them to enjoy. So be sure to sign up at Northwest Fresno, Downtown Fresno, Southeast Fresno, Sanger, and Kerman Grocery Outlet locations today. All right, Benatti Blitz. There's the music. Oh my God, it was still recording. Fantastic. All that for nothing.
We did it.
It's week 9. We're halfway through the season. Unbelievable. And what are we blessed with the football gods? Four teams on bye, including the Browns and Jets. God bless. So the worst team of the week in terms of football this week, my worst game starts off with the Titans and the Chargers in Tennessee. Mike McCoy revenge game, anyone? I think only their family would care about that one. Chargers coming in. Looking like gang beaters, beating out the Minnesota Vikings in terms of that. We'll see what that translates into. I have no interest in what Tennessee does as a football team. Cam Ward looks absolutely lost out there. And when you're cutting Tyler Lockett, you know you're down bad in terms of it. So Titans-Chargers is my worst game of the week, and that's where I sit.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think the Tennessee Titans fans should be happy that they won that game against Arizona, because I don't know if they're going to win another game for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's going to be through some miraculous means by the hands of Alec Iomanner, who is going to catch a touchdown for some reason. All right.
What so a pull.
We'll see how this game goes, but I think it's going to be a blowout.
They have a wide receiver named Dyke. I don't know.
Shimmeray DK.
Okay, yeah. That's what it is.
He's from Florida.
Okay. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Maybe he can coach there.
Which is it's bad. It's bad if you release Tyler Lockett and Tyler Lockett ass.
Well, let's talk about the next game, which is Tyler Lockett's next game, which is the Raiders and the Jaguars, yeah! As he's going to be playing for the Raiders in Las Vegas. I have them next this game in Las Vegas. Boy, no offense to the Jaguars here. I think I'm interested in see how they respond after a bye and after a tough couple of games against, I would say, top-tier NFC opponents. Don't get discouraged. Do not get discouraged. Those are two good teams you've lost to in back-to-back.
Oh,
weeks.
No. Yeah, I think if the Jags lose this game, I'm out on the season.
Oh, I would be as well, because The Raiders are absolutely horrendous. God help them. And I don't see any reason they should win another football game this year based on what we have seen through 7 weeks. How did my team lose to them? It's going to be frustrating.
I am probably going to have to watch this game upstairs. Stuff's going to be downstairs in misery.
Under a blanket.
Yep.
I still remember last season when Jacksonville played Las Vegas, and it was kind of a battle of who's going to get a higher draft
pick. He had tickets.
I did.
And they didn't go.
And I was like, no. We were like, no.
That's so funny. Mm-mm. Well, that game went kind of crazy. I don't see how this is going to be crazy, because I think the Jaguars defense is just too good. So, yeah, give me this at the exact same place.
Next up, this might surprise people, but I have the Bengals and the Bears here. I don't find the Bears compelling to watch anymore, and I don't understand the hype around Caleb Williams in terms of what entertainment factor. I describe this best as Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams looks like the college student who thinks he can just fly it on the go on the fly in terms of taking the midterm without any sort of studying, and then he just shows up and tries to wing it. And somehow he accomplished some correct answers, and somehow he doesn't.
Oh my God, that was actually me in college.
It's just like,
I never showed up.
Doesn't it look like Caleb Williams doesn't see the game plan in terms of everything? And he is just like, I will just run around and hope I don't get hit.
He flips through it like during pregame and is like, yeah, all right, cool, got it.
Yep. All right. And he takes all the time.
Yep.
The entire time in terms of the test. Anyways, regardless, the Bears are failing the test right now in terms of how they go. Boy, Cincy, that was a rough one to lose. That's what I got next.
Yeah.
Also, Jake Browning potential here. This
right, because Joe Flacco might be injured, and that'll be very bad for the Bengals players that you have on your fantasy team.
Yep.
I have this a little bit higher in case Joe Flacco does play, but I just wanted to say Chicago Bears fans were really hyped after their four-game winning streak, which was tied for the best winning streak of the season so far, and they beat the Cowboys, Raiders, Commanders, and Saints. So a bad loss to the Ravens, because I feel like they could have continued this win streak without Lamar Jackson. I feel like they're going into this game with a little bit less of hope. So I have this a little higher because I do still like some of the players on both teams. I have this at number 9.
Next up, speaking of Lamar Jackson, his return on Thursday Night Football lands here next. I'm not buying the Dolphins and what they did. Man, the Falcons, we'll get to them in a little bit. Dolphins, Ravens in terms of Thursday Night Football. I'm getting the spooky scaries already in terms of what this game could provide. Maybe it's just a big fat running game potential in terms of both of these two teams. We may see the teams running the ball 40 times on either side. Who knows? It is nice to see Lamar potentially back and hopefully in a healthy capacity. And maybe this is the start of where the Ravens just go, full bore moving forward into this season. But outside of that, I'm not buying anything the Dolphins are selling in terms of that. This is not going to be a good game.
I have this slightly higher because these are two of the four worst defenses in the NFL, and I think we could see a lot of points scored on both sides. Now, saying that, Tua Tagovailoa has been pretty terrible this season, and I don't know how that relationship with him and Mike McDaniel is going to transform over the rest of the season, because they severely need to fix that even long term with Miami. But I think Lamar Jackson is going to provide a lot of good offense in this game. So this is a little bit higher for me.
I got nothing. This game, this game's trash.
This game blows. Next up.
Oh, yeah. This game, the game is trash. I just wanted to put that out there.
This next game cannot escape my top five. It's no offense to the team that's hosting this this next game, but the Rams and the Saints sit here next. I cannot put Tyler Shook any higher than the bottom five of my games. And I get it. Tyler Shook, if he's going to be starting and we're going to see a new rookie quarterback, yes, the intrigue is there. But, man, the Saints were as pathetic on offense as I've ever seen this year. I was singing their praises a little bit. I thought, hey, you know, this is a competent team on offense. And suddenly they did not show up in their own building to the Buccaneers last week. I love watching the Rams, though. I love seeing what they're doing. Unfortunately, we may see the whole team rest their starters by third quarter. So we'll see how it goes. But Rams-Saints sits here next.
Yeah, possible Puka Nacua coming back in this game because his practice window has opened up. So I think he could have a massive game in this one. New Orleans Saints, they've switched over to Tyler Shook. I don't know, that's kind of going from 1A to 1B for me personally, but we'll see how that pans out for the Saints. But I think this is going to be a blowout because the Rams defense is just insane.
I don't think Tyler Shook's good.
Wow.
He's a 26-year-old rookie.
Man, they're making these rookies older, aren't they?
Remember Brandon Whedon?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
31-year-old rookie.
What?
I didn't know that.
31?
I think he was like 31. Jeez. Look it up.
Oh, my God.
Brandon Whedon, one of my favorites.
Good
Doing
Lord.
Doing it for the olds. I'm older than him.
He gives me hope.
Or I was older than him when he started. He's no longer old. He's still older than me. Next up, Patriots and Falcons. Man, who throws a prettier ball than Drake May right now in terms of this matchup? And the Patriots can absolutely pick apart what the Falcons are putting down on defense from a standpoint. Falcons, man, that as disappointing of a result as I think any team has had this season, I'd be down bad if I'm a Falcons fan, especially now knowing that, wow, we went to Kirk Cousins and that's the output we put out in terms of an offensive production. So the Falcons look anemic. The Falcons look lost. The Falcons don't look fun to see. And the Patriots are playing as good efficient football out there, and they beat up on the bad teams who are playing bad. I want to watch it in terms of my enjoyment of the Patriots and how well they're playing. But outside of that, this is not a competitive football game.
I have a bone to pick with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know how you can have the level of talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball with Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and Kyle Pitts, and you're still bottom five in offensive production. It is absolutely horrendous how they've handled this team. And yeah, sure, the defense led them to a win against the Buffalo Bills, and the defense also have led them to wins against the Minnesota Vikings at Minnesota. But then you have terrible losses versus Miami. I don't know how you get blown out by Miami.
Carolina.
Right? And then you lost to San Francisco with all of those injuries. You got blown out by Carolina. This is a team that fascinates me for all the wrong reasons, and I have this in the exact same place as you do.
I got stuck at brunch. Kirk Cousins started for Atlanta?
He didn't know. Nobody knew. Nobody knew who Kirk Cousins was starting. Yes, he did.
Cool.
I think.
What happened?
Kirk Cousins.
Guys.
Yeah, Kirk O'Chains.
What is going on in Georgia?
Kirk Cousins' experience is long gone. It's left the train.
Oh,
goodbye.
Oh, my God.
He's what, $40 million a year? Next up.
That check going to clear, though.
Oh, boy. Lions and Vikings next. Speaking of old Kirk Cousins teams, the Lions come in off the bye. It's going to be good to see our old friends taking on a divisional opponent in this one. I'm curious. Obviously, Carson Wentz out for the rest of the year now, so it seems like we are...
I think somehow J.J. McCarthy's back.
Somehow this had just worked out perfectly to see J.J. McCarthy healed up right in the nick of time when Carson Wentz goes down for the rest of the year. I'm not putting on my conspiracy hat whatsoever, but let's see what J.J. can do against the Lions. Unfortunately, it could be the similar fate as when the Bears went into that Ford Field. So we'll see how it goes. Divisional opponent, I don't hate it, but it'll be interesting.
You had Lions Den right there.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, this is I have this higher because I always grade divisional matchups a little bit higher than you do, Phil. But I think this could be a game that surprises a lot of people in the first half with J.J. McCarthy trying to keep it a little bit close. But I think the Lions will eventually pull away in this one. So, yeah. Pretty good game on the horizon.
I very much worry about J.J. McCarthy's ability to avoid, Hutchinson and that whole rush in terms of how that defense will.
Shout out Al-Kadeem Muhammad. He's been playing very good this year.
Yeah. Next up, Packers and Panthers in Green Bay. I hope Bryce is back. I think that's a little bit of a better result. I flippantly just said, yeah, it's the same offense when Andy Dalton and Bryce Young played. No, never mind. Andy Dalton's horrible. And he was no good, horrible, terrible on offense. And I would never want to see him play football ever again. So, Bryce Young, hope you heal up. Can't wait to see it. Packers against this run of the Panthers. I'd like to see them unleash it a little bit more, but I think the Panthers are getting in their own head in terms of this two-headed monster thing. I think they got to find one feature back and make it happen in this football game. Outside of that, though, Green Bay, I would say nice bounce back after a little bit down on that Steeler game. I think they were clearly the better team, and I was glad they saw and grabbed control of that Sunday night game. So two teams, Panthers are fighting for a playoff spot. Would be an interesting game in my opinion.
Yeah, it was the first time this season where I truly, since the Detroit game in week one, where I truly felt the Packers took control of a game that they have to win and should have won, and that was good to see. If the Panthers are going to win this game, I think it's going to be through their running game. I think Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard both have played very well, especially Rico Dowdle. We could see a lot more touches for him in this game, but if the Packers are going to win, you got to just test these corners of the Carolina Panthers, and I think they can with guys coming back. Christian Watson's coming back. Tucker Kraft's still healthy. You have Matthew Golden, who's a first-round pick. I wish that they include Matthew Golden a little bit more in the offense, but yeah, I think that this is going to be a good game for sure.
I think if the Panthers can run between the tackles and get the run game established, I think they'll be fine.
I selfishly want Rico Dowdle to be the feature back. Only for fantasy.
I think he will. Fair. I think he will in this game. If you're Dave Canales, come out. He was along the lines saying that like he loves Chuba for this team, but he's probably going to go with Rico in the rest of the season.
That, I don't think Trevor Etienne's like, I don't think he's ready.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
Next up, Commanders Seahawks Sunday Night Football. I'm kind of shrugging at this one a little bit just because I don't know what to expect in terms of the injury department. I guess Jaden Daniels is still week to week in terms of this. And I frankly... Last night's result between Commanders and Chiefs, I thought the Commanders had a decent like ability to move the football last night. I bet their yardage was pretty high in terms of that, but they just did not cash in on fourth down opportunities and cash in on when the points were there on the table. I thought it was a little too risky of a game plan from Dan Quinn in terms of it. But I'm curious to see how they respond. It's 3-5 now, Commanders team, and it's starting to really fade away in terms of what we were remembering from last year's Commanders team. Seahawks, though, they're in the fun ability to watch team that I feel like they supersede the opponent they play. Can't wait to see them play again after a bye week. JSN, one of the best wide receivers in the league, top five, I would say, potentially, in the way he's playing. But there you go. Commanders, Seahawks, Sunday night.
A battle to look out for in this specific matchup is the red zone battle. Washington is the best offense when they do get into the red zone. Seattle is a top 10 defense when teams get into the red zone. So if Washington can convert on their opportunities, that's the only way that I can see them going through, because this Seattle defense is really, really good and does prevent a lot of teams from getting into the red zone. So if Jaden Daniels is healthy, maybe they have a shot, but this is another game where I feel like they could hang in there for like a quarter, two quarters, three mm-hmm. quarters, but nah.
This game's a lot lower for me if Jaden Daniels doesn't play. And also, I feel really bad for what's his name? I cannot remember his name. Rayshon Jenkins. Yes. I feel bad for Rayshon Jenkins. Whoever the person playing across from him is going to have a field day.
Hey, Sam Darnold, chill in the picks. Just chill. Chill out.
That was Houston.
Next up, Giants and Niners at MetLife. Hey, Niner fans.
Really?
You're playing at MetLife here, and I understand there's some horror shows and things to think about in terms of the Halloween weekend and some horrible nightmares coming from this MetLife Stadium. But you need this win. You need to get back into your ways. And I feel like a lot of Niners are coming back potentially in this one to see how this will go. Jackson Dart's entertaining. I don't care what you, you know, even though we lose Scat in this game.
He's fun.
Jackson Dart, you know, he's a cat that's got zoomies all the time in terms of the way he plays quarterback. And I love watching the Dayball reactions. The dude was about to see his head explode like four times last week. Can't wait to see it happen in this Niner game. And don't get it past it. I think the Giants can score on this Niners defense for sure. So this will be close.
Yeah, this is a game where it's going to be basically who can exploit what situation. The Giants are the worst run defense in the league, and you have Christian McCaffrey who – for my money, is the best running back in the NFL, but obviously Jonathan Taylor's having one hell of a season, so you can obviously argue that too. Mm-hmm. But if the 49ers can establish a run game, I think this will be a 49ers win. But I had a real issue with the 49ers after losing Bryce Huff and the amount of pressure that they were established for this terrible Houston Texans offensive line. And now you're going into a Giants game where Jackson Dart can't have time. And so if Jackson Dart does have time, or if Christian McCaffrey does have one hell of a game, that's going to kind of decide which way this game goes. But in terms of the MetLife turf, Christian McCaffrey, I'm happy for what you did this season. I'm not praying on it, but I have a bad feeling.
You have a bad
feeling. He's going to have to talk to an Etsy witch about his ACL and his Achilles. I don't see this going well for the Giants. I think Jackson Dart without Cam. Cam Scatabo is nothing.
Tyrone Tracy, what up? Next up. Cowboys and Cardinals, Monday Night Football. This is, like I said, Cardinals, tell me a bad game the Cardinals have played this year. Tell me a game that wasn't entertaining that the Cardinals played this year, and I beg you, you will be continuing to search high and low. Cowboys, you know, it was a dud last week, but that Broncos defense is legit. That Cardinals defense is not. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun watching this shootout next week on Monday night. Major Wager, be sure to be there. Me and Ed's Victory Grill. I have this in the top five. I have this in the top four for week nine.
This is my number one game of the week. I did say it before when we were talking, but I actually do have this as the number one game of the week. Both defenses, pretty terrible. Both offenses, well, Cowboys offense is actually playing out of their mind. They had a rough game at Denver. I think this could be a little bit of a bounce back game. Arizona, I feel like, just stays with every team because they have enough players to play well, but they just don't have the players to get over the hump. And so I could see this being a high scoring game, and I have this at number one.
You know what the Arizona feels like?
What's that?
Last year's Jags.
What, bad?
No, just like really close games to start the year and just kept losing.
I was checking the schedule. I didn't know that they've been – all of their games so far this season have been one-score games.
Five losses by 13
That's
points.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they've lost five in a row.
By 13 points combined.
That's crazy.
I'm
going to
say six.
By 14 points combined. Next up, Texans and Broncos. We got a roll here. Texans and Broncos. Bo Nix battles in a chess match with this Texans defense that is legit in terms of that. How will he respond? The Broncos have been low-key hot throughout this run so far. This is going to be an interesting game, I would say. AFC playoff implications. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, player to watch in this game, Nico Collins, if he's back, because Patrick Surtain is probably going to be out long-term. So we'll see how that goes.
Next up, Steelers and Colts. In Pittsburgh, big test for both teams. I would say more so for Pittsburgh because, yikes, the defense against Jonathan Taylor. We'll see how that goes in terms of the run defense. Pittsburgh kind of needs this one after laying a dud against Green Bay later in the game. They just felt like they were outworked for most of it. But the Colts, man, they keep rolling. But some weird things happen in Pittsburgh. So I'm just paying attention to Steelers-Colts this week.
Yeah, that Indianapolis Colts offense has been playing insane. I think the Steelers have it cut out for them in this one. I'm going to say the Colts win this game, but I also do think this could be a very entertaining one. I think Aaron Rodgers can still he still has some juice left in him.
He's got some juice, but I think the Colts run away with this one.
And my number one game of the week, does it have to be any surprise? The Bills and the Chiefs in Buffalo. That'll be great. It'll be a fantastic one. I said this before last night. Chiefs struggle with quarterbacks that like to scramble. Josh Allen, one of those notable quarterbacks that love to do so. Bills bounced back in a big way. They showed they are back to where they can be potentially, especially their defensive side, just absolutely smothering the Carolina Panthers. Chiefs, I wouldn't say totally impressed offensively with what they came back with. Pacheco could potentially out. That run game's it's not really humming for the Chiefs still. I think one-dimensional Chiefs offense can be a struggle, especially if Buffalo can key in on it.
I think this number one ranked game of the week has been a curse, and I think it'll continue to be a curse because we had Denver versus Dallas, and that was a blowout, as it has been a blowout for a lot of these games. So I think Buffalo is going to blow out the Chiefs.
Can't wait. And that is your Benatti Blitz brought to you by Grocery Outlet. Let's take a break. Let's wrap up the Hour Talk World Series Game 4 next on 1430 ESPN. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Tuesday. I have wrapped up my headphones, so I messed up and thought the show was over. We only got four more minutes left. Ace, I can only hear you right now.
Okay, that's fine.
I cannot hear the peanut gallery, which you have yet to enlighten me on what I should or should not be saying about our producer group over there. Tanvir, you can say whatever you want, and I don't hear it right now.
There are no repercussions.
Wemby will win MVP.
Stop your slander. Steph Curry's winning it at 38. Let's go. You see Draymond last night, by the way?
No.
Draymond, I got to show you the clip afterwards.
Maybe I have.
Draymond had a flagrant foul on...
it's Draymond. Don't air quote that.
Okay. It was like... Who's the Grizzly player? It's like Altima or whatever.
Santi Aldama.
Yeah, Aldama. He got him from behind. It was kind of like the horse collar tackle of basketball in terms of laying him to the ground. But then Aldama was like down on the ground, just kind of writhing in pain, and of course Draymond's saying soft bleep, whatever, you know, he got all mad. They called a flagrant on him. And then he misses both free throws, and Draymond just starts celebrating like he won the NBA championship.
That's amazing.
All right, you know what, I'll give him that one. That's pretty
clip.
Funny.
I need to find the clip for you guys in terms of it. NBA's been great so far outside of the gambling scandal that's rocking the entire world.
Oh, no, that's the positive. No.
Hey, any good news is good news, right? Yeah, is that right. What it is? Or, you
know. Something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, you want to talk about your boy Austin Reeves for 30 seconds?
What about him? How he scored like 50 points the other night?
That was cool.
And had like a pretty mid game yesterday.
92 yeah. over the last two games.
Did he just? Did Luka just give him his powers while Luka's hurt for a hot second?
Yeah, Luka said like, "Here, real quick, hold this for a second, and then I'm gonna ask for it back." But like, while I'm not using it, he like basically let him borrow his PlayStation,
or like gave him his shoes, like the like Mike movie, right? Yeah. Like Luka. When do we get
like Luka?
What's the Durant movie where the kid gets Durant's basketball powers? What is that movie? Thunderstruck. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Anyone seen that movie?
How are you even on about?
I have heard of it. I have never seen it.
Dale, you seen it? Dale, yeah. 15 seconds. What's Thunderstruck? How good is Thunderstruck?
Oh, I love it. I mean, it's basically spreading Kevin Durant propaganda to the max.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant propaganda?
It is. It legit is. It's so crazy.
That's awesome.
All right, we got 2 minutes left of the show. Who's winning game four? I'll start with Asa.
Blue Jays.
Blue Jays? Why?
Vibes.
Vibes? Yeah, of course it is. Daniel, who's winning game four?
If I had to pick, give me the Blue Jays. I'm giving 8-6 scoreline.
Wow, we're getting some runs. We're getting some runs tonight. Tanvir, I know what you're feeling. Where are you going?
I think that the demoralization of losing a game like they did last night is going to put so much pressure on Toronto to win this game that they might outplay themselves out of a game like this. And so I think this will be another close game. Toronto's got the players for it. But I have the Dodgers winning in a close game.
Okay.
I think Toronto bounces early. I think they get a couple of runs early on Shohei. It's just a matter of how good Bieber can be, how effective he can be, how much they can maintain the pace of staying ahead in this game. The Blue Jays, for the most part, outside of their big, you know, big explosion of runs in their game in game one, haven't really played with a lead so far in this World Series. I'd like to see them do that. A lot of comebacks this postseason with the Blue Jays. They did a lot against the Mariners in the ALCS as well. So we'll see who jumps out ahead in this one. I feel like if the Blue Jays do, they are certainly winning this game tonight. And I'm just going with my theory of tire leg theory. I just think Shohei is just going to be a little bit off today in terms of how much that game is affecting him last night. So I'll go Blue Jays, and we'll have a tied series of two going into tomorrow. So, guys, appreciate the hour. Fun hour for everybody, right?
Thanks for having me, Phil.
Yeah, you know, we love to call this work, right?
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, guys. Appreciate it as always. We'll be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock to 4. We'll set it to Game 5 tomorrow. But Game 4 coming up tonight over on 790 Sharks Hockey as well. We'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.